verses 12 through 19, and this is out of the English Standard Version. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in so far as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, or an evil meddler. Verses 12 through 19, and this is out of the English Standard Version. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in so far as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or a thief, or an evildoer, or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good.
Boy, life can take some crazy turns sometimes, can't it? It seems like that when we just get things going our way, it can just come crashing down on top of you. Someone said it's like children building a castle in the sand. They work all day long and so hard to build their castle, and just when they get it built, the tide comes in and washes it all away. Life's like building those sand castles sometimes, isn't it? Can sure cause us to look up and wonder why. You know, Peter tries to help us out here. I don't know that we'll ever understand completely. I don't. But I know that we can find some great truths in God's Word that will give us some power to handle everyday problems. I know this, if we're not ready, if we don't know God's Word, when these things come, they can cause us all kind of confusion. We think, well, God doesn't know what's happening to me. Well, and you think, well, no, that's not true. God knows everything. And then we might think, well, He doesn't care. And that's not true. God cares about us. He loves us. We're His children. He made us. Well, then God knows and God cares, but He just can't do anything about it. And that's not true. Because God can do anything and everything. All things are possible with God. So round and round and round our mind goes, trying to grasp something to hold on to when these things are happening in our life. And they will. They will happen. One of the things that Peter tries to tell us here is, he says, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised when the fiery ordeals come upon you. We live in a world where these things happen. So Peter's saying, don't be surprised. Something happens and we think, well, what did I do? Well, you didn't do anything. You live in a world where these things happen. It's kind of like what Job was talking about in Job 14 in verse 2. He said that man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. As long as we live on this earth, we are going to know trouble. We can divide this thought into, I think, three categories this morning, and this may help us. Number one, there is common suffering. That's what happens to everyone. It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Whenever God placed a curse upon Satan, he placed a curse upon Adam, he placed a curse upon Eve, and he also cursed the ground. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 17, cursed the ground because of you. Thorns and thistles, he said. You'll see them. Those thorns and those thistles he was talking about. That's what we find in this world. You're not going to get through without getting sick sometimes. There are going to be some problems that you have to face along the way. Because that's the kind of world we live in. We are born a woman. We know we have only a few days. And there's going to be some trouble. So this common suffering, it's God's signs from heaven to remind us of what sin has done in this world today. And then along with common suffering, there's carnal suffering, I like to call it. It's things that we have done that bring trouble to us. In Peter here, 2 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 15, it says, "By no means let any of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or a troublesome meddler." Sometimes we suffer because we are sinful. We bring it on ourselves. In Galatians 8 and verse 7, there God sets forth a universal law. He says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. If he sows to the flesh, of the flesh he'll reap corruption. If he sows to the Spirit, of the Spirit he'll reap life everlasting." You reap what you sow. In fact, Jeremiah, the sage of old, in chapter 2 and verse 19, reminds us, "Your own wickedness will correct you." And Amos tells us that many times we drink the bitter water from the wells that we have dug. So sometimes we bring this trouble in this world, we bring it upon ourselves because of things that we have done. Well, someone asks, well, can't God forgive us of our sins? Well, sure He does. Sure He can. But it does not mean that we may not have to suffer the consequences, even for the rest of our lives. Case in point. Suppose one gets drunk and he crashes his car into a tree, and because of it he loses his arm. Will God forgive him? Sure He will. Will God put the arm back? No. A consequence he will have to live with for the rest of his life. David was one that certainly realized this. David sinned against God grievously. And God forgave David of his sin when he pleaded with him in Psalm 51. "Cleanse me of my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly. Make me whole. Restore unto me," David pleaded, "the joy of thy salvation." And God did forgive his sin. But he also told him, "The sword will never leave your house." The child that was conceived in sin died. David's other children rose up against him over and over and over and over again. David lived with the consequences of his sin. That's why, young people, that's why your parents try so hard to get you to understand sometimes what you're headed for. Because they've been down that road. They've gone to the University of Hard Knocks. And they're just trying to keep you from walking down a path that might lead you to one moment in your life that may cause you consequences and pain for as long as you live. And instead of getting mad at them and angry because they don't understand me, they won't let me do anything anymore. All my friends are doing this. Instead of that, someday, you just might get smart enough to say, I sure am thankful for parents that love me. I think about my friend, J.D. He and I were the best of buddies and the best of friends. And I had these restrictions. I had to be in at a certain time. J.D. didn't have to be. J.D. didn't have any time to come in. He could just do whatever he wanted to do. And I just so envied J.D. Man. I wished 1,000 times my parents could be like J.D.'s parents. Man, they'd go out of town and leave him at the house. Boy, there was all kind of parties at J.D.'s house when his mother left town. My mother and daddy never did do that. One day I told J.D., I said, J.D., I wished my parents were like your parents. I said, they make me come in and at this time and they did that and I'm back this and I got this. And J.D. looked at me and he said something that I have never forgotten. He said, at least you know they love you. It was J.D. that was wishing he had my parents all the time. J.D. was wishing he had my parents. At least they know, you know they love you. There are times coming whenever we have to realize that we put ourselves in some very, very difficult situations. That's why the Bible tries to get us to be wise, even in our young years. Psalms 99 and verse 8 says, thou wilt be a forgiving God to them, and yet an avenger of their evil deeds. Your sins can be forgiven you, but you may suffer the consequences for the rest of your life. And then there finally there's not only common suffering, that's what happens to everybody, there's carnal suffering, that's things that we bring on ourselves. Then there is Christian suffering. And Peter talks about this in verse 14 when he says, when you're insulted for the name of Christ. And then again in verse 16 when he said, when you suffer as a Christian. There's suffering that sometimes comes because we are Christians. Think about Matthew 5 and verse 11. When Jesus said, blessed are ye when men shall persecute you, revile you, say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. And Peter told his son Timothy, he told him in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, and indeed all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Here in Peter, 1 Peter verse, chapter 4 and verse 14, it says, if you are reviled for the name of Christ, happy are you. You know, I think about this word, happy here. It's a word that it means when you're spiritually prosperous. When men persecute you, the Bible says you are spiritually prosperous. And I think about two churches listed in Revelation that so exemplifies this thought. One of them was Sardis. The other was Laodicea. It was said about Sardis in Revelation 2 and verse 9, I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich. And to the church at Laodicea, who thought that they were, in verse 17, they said, I am rich, I have become wealthy, I have need of nothing. And God said to this church, you are wretched, you are poor, you are blind, you are naked, and you make me sick, and I want to spew you out of my mouth. What was the difference? Sardis didn't get along with the world, and they were persecuted, but Jesus said, you are blessed, you are rich. But Laodicea, on the other hand, Laodicea was welcome in the community. They got along with everybody, and God said, you think you're rich, but you're poor. The world's not going to cause much problems for someone that wants to be like them. So you have common suffering, carnal suffering, and Christian suffering. But very quickly, I want us to look. I know suffering is not a good thing. I'm not trying to say that this morning. But what I want us to see is Peter tells us, even when we go through these tough times, and some of them are tough. Some of you this morning in this audience, you are carrying some heavy, heavy burdens. I don't know sometimes how you do it. You're unbelievable. Your faith is awesome. But there are things even that God gives us in the midst of suffering. He tells us that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. Now, do we really believe that, or don't we? Do we really believe that God will never leave us or forsake us? Do we really believe that God is our rock and our Redeemer, our very present help in time of trouble? Do we honestly believe that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ? Not things seen, not things unseen, not height or depth or principalities or powers or things to come, nor anything. Do we really believe that the love of God for us is that strong? Then if we do, then we can believe what Peter is trying to tell us here. For example, the results of our suffering as a life of a Christian, for one thing, is purification. Peter calls this a fiery trial. The analogy there is like gold or silver being put into a furnace. And what happens is it burns up the impurities, and what comes out is the pure metal, the pure gold or the pure silver. And you'd never know it unless it had been put into the fiery furnace. Peter says here, don't be surprised when this fiery trial comes on you. Job said, you remember, he said, he that knows the way that I take, he has tried me, and I shall come forth as pure gold. Job 23 and verse 10. And in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 3, Malachi said, and he, speaking of God, will sit as a smelter, a purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi. When we're in this fiery trial, it's hard to see. It's hard to see this purification. I know. I've been there. 2 years ago this month, was standing out in the front yard out there, Pat and I watching our house burn. He's talking about tough, man. And some of you have been through some things that make that so insignificant. I'm not trying to say that that was the worst thing that could ever happen. Some of you have gone through things that some of you have lost your children. I don't know how in the world you do that. You've got to have a faith, man. When you're standing and literally your faith is in the fire as well as figuratively, it's tough. And you can't help it. You say, why, God? You say, why? But even Jesus, even the Son of God, asked why. Hanging on the cross, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And right then it's tough to see that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. But yes, we grew. My faith grew, and it was because of you. A lot of it was because of you. You stepped up, you helped us, you held our hand, you prayed for us, you lifted us up. And we grew. And now we have a beautiful house, much better than the one that we had before, and newer things. And but it's hard to see when you're going through those things. I'd like to share with you my thoughts about that day, poem that I wrote the night while I was laying in the bed after our house had burned. We were in a hotel room, and I call it In Times of Trouble. This life is filled with sorrows and troubles, so they say. You pray to God to give you strength just to get you through each day. You need to live one day at a time. It's a truth we've all been told. But there are some days that are not so good, if I may be so bold. Someday there are mountains that you have to climb and valleys, oh, so low. So what do you do when a day goes bad? I'd really like to know. There are times when this old world of ours can really get you down. You cry some tears and put on a smile, or you wear an ugly frown. Now, if you frown, the world will surely say, I knew it all along. Shows his faith when things are good, but not when things go wrong. There are things about this life I'll never understand. But I don't have to know it all if Jesus holds my hand. So in times of trouble, just look to heaven above. One thing this world cannot burn up is our Heavenly Father's love. Our God wants us to be happy. But we live in a world where bad things happen to good people. But we cannot let it rob us of our faith. We cannot let it burn us, our faith, up. I think about the three Hebrew children, old Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who wouldn't bow down to the golden image of the king, and because of it, they were thrown into the fiery furnace. Heated 7 times hotter. Man, the king was going to burn them up, and burn them up good. But when he looked into the fire, there were not 3, but 4 men, not bound, but loose and walking. And they opened up the fiery furnace door, and out walked Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The only thing that the fire had burned up was what the world had put on them, the chains. Wasn't any of their clothing sins, wasn't any hair sins to burn. 3 men cast in bound, 4 men in loose and walking. Who do you think that fourth man was. I think you know. And so it is. Suffering will try us. It'll reach down and try to get your faith. But as someone said, life's like a grindstone. It'll either polish you or grind you down. Don't let troubles burn away your faith. And then there's the partnership that comes with it. Peter says here in verse 14, you share the sufferings of Christ. The word there is koinonia, sharing. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. In Philippians 3 and verses 10 and 11, Paul there prayed that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, in order that I might attain to his resurrection from the dead. Jesus is never more precious. Jesus is never more precious to us than when our faith is in the fire. Because sometimes he's all you got to hang on to. And then there's the power that comes through that. Peter said in verse 14, and the Spirit of the glory of God rests on you. A power. Your faith grows like nothing else that you could ever do that would grow your faith. It's tough. It's hard. And I'm not saying, I'm not one that wishes for bad things to happen. I'm just telling you that even when bad things happen, God can turn it for good, people. Stay in there. Don't turn your back on God. Don't leave God. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 10, he said, therefore I am content with my weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecution and difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am made strong. I read that passage of Scripture and I think, Paul, you're crazy, man. He said, I take pleasure in the infirmities. I take pleasure in the things that knock me down. And I'm thinking, why? You're crazy. But then he says, because when I'm weak, then am I made strong. When I realize that Paul can't handle these things, when it's knocked me down on my knees, and the only way I've got is to look up, and I reach up to my God, and he grabs my hand and pulls me up, my weakness, my human weakness, becomes a strength in God. And so Paul is saying here it's a power. And it's a persuasion. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. But in that name, let him glorify God. Never are you more of a power for Christ than when you love those that don't love you. When you do good for evil. When you're in the midst of this suffering and yet you stand tall and strong and powerful. You become a great example to those that are around you because they're wondering, is his faith real? Is it? And down deep they're wishing, hoping that it is. And you can lift God up to them, to the world around you. And then he says it's a perfection. Peter said here, and after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace who called you to an eternal glory will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. What he's saying here is that through our struggles, that God will help us to grow up. He'll help us to grow up. And then finally this morning, so what do you do? Well, you rely on God. And this is what Peter finally says here in verse 19. Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. That's a strange word there, that commit. It's a banking term, actually. And it has to do with going and entrusting your money to a banker. And we do that. We take our money and put it in the bank, and we don't sit outside the door with an automatic rifle and guard the door, do we? No, why? Because we have entrusted, we have committed that savings to the bank. And we believe that when we need it, we can go back and it will be there. And that's what Peter's saying here. Entrust it to God. Paul used this word, and here's how he used it. He said, brethren, I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able, watch this now, watch it, to keep that which I have committed unto him until that day. Same word, same in banking word, same entrusted, committed, given to in his care. When we put our lives and our hearts and our souls into God's care, you can take it to the bank.